Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsy as you. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite? You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place. The waiting place. For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or the waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting.
Good morning. My name's Joe. My pronouns are he and him. It's good to be here with you today. Good to have you here. Greetings to those joining us online also. Everyone is just waiting. I love that image. Really captures that feeling of time paused. Nowhere to go, not a cell phone in sight. How do you feel about waiting? I like the image, but I don't like waiting. Dr. Seuss clearly feels pretty negative about it. He associates waiting with stuckness, being left behind, confusion, helplessness, boredom, a most useless place, the waiting place. Welcome to Advent, the season of waiting, a season where the Christian story names our waiting, invites us to wait, even celebrates the waiting. What does it mean to celebrate the waiting place, the uncertainty, the stuckness, the helplessness of waiting? Christmas is supposed to feel good. We will get there. But we start in the place of tension and boredom, the waiting place. From this year's Advent materials, in our scriptures, we hear the stories of those who have been waiting, waiting, waiting to hear from God, who have felt the silence of God as they long for restoration, for vindication, for hope. We too have been those who wait. When we watch the news, when we hear of wars and rumors of war, when children don't have enough to eat, when cancers and illnesses impact lives, we cry out with our spiritual ancestors, "How long, O Lord? How long must we wait?" The answer is not forthcoming, yet we know God is with us in the waiting. Waiting is an act of faith. There are no guarantees. The answers are not forthcoming. And yet, here we are. When our Advent planning team read over this theme for today's service, we thought of the refugee experience. Our church has learned about this by sharing a bit of the journey with various refugee families over the years, including the family of Matayar. Matayar and Marg Epp are working together on a memoir of her journey, and Marg is going to share some of that story this morning. Marg.
Good morning. There's so many people here I haven't seen for a while. I have to just have a look here. So Joe asked if I'd be willing to share Matayar's story. So some of you know that I've been working on this book, writing a book about Matayar, not so much about her as her lived experience as told by her. So it's her memoir, as told to me with the assistance of translators. And I'd just like to say welcome to Matayar. You're here, your words are here, I'm gonna read them. Boy Doso, who's a very important part of this whole process because he was the one I went to first, and well, after I'd asked Matayar, went to Boy and said, is this a good idea for me to think about doing this? And he was very enthusiastic about it, and helped a lot with translating the written Karen into some parts of the book, as well as helping me with names and spellings of names and all those things. And so thank you, Boy. And also, Sisse is here with Boy and Matayar. So waiting has been part and continues to be part of this process that I've gone through, waiting for the right time to ask Matayar if she'd be willing to share her story, waiting for all our schedules to coincide with translators and so on, waiting for ideas of how to flesh out all these stories and thoughts and present them in a readable, organized fashion and keep Matayar's voice in it. A lot of this thinking happened at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm really looking forward to having the project finished so I can think about other things at 3 a.m. Waiting to see if there's actually going to be a publisher who's interested. Are there any publishers here today? Okay, so don't get me wrong. It's been a challenging project, but a really rewarding one. But it's not about me. It's about Matayar. And for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, we've introduced her. Matayar and her five children came to Saskatoon 7 years ago. They were sponsored by our church through MCC. Matayar is Karen and originally from Burma, Myanmar now. She, her husband, and two oldest children, as well as her extended family, left Burma in 2002 and made the journey to Maremo refugee camp in Thailand. If you look at a map, it doesn't look very far. But when you're walking, it's not like the prairies. It's mountains, jungle, rivers, soldiers, and you're carrying everything you own, including your children. In the fall of 2015, Wildwood Church completed all the sponsorship forms and then waited. We received news that Matayar and family would arrive December 15th. 2015. We're ready and waiting. We had a house. Jan Martel, the author, and MCC have this arrangement. He has a house and provides the rent for a refugee family to stay for a year, and then they move once the sponsorship group's financial responsibilities are over. So we had everything ready. It was pretty exciting. Then the news came that the family wouldn't come because of medical issues with the youngest. So we waited some more. In about February, we heard that they might be coming, but they didn't. So we had this empty house. Mr. Martel was very patient, said, let's just wait, they'll come. Well, April arrived and still no word. So we put everything into storage because there was a Syrian family that was in need of a place to live. And a month later, they came. So, but it all worked out. In the big scheme of things, our wait here seems pretty insignificant compared to Mathayar's waiting period. There were many levels of waiting for her. Waiting for life in Burma. I call it Burma all the time because that's what Mathayar calls it. That's what it was when she lived there. So, waiting for life in Burma to improve. Hiding, waiting, maybe in a hole in the ground while soldiers are invading your village and there's sounds of shots and yelling. Running from your village and waiting to return when it is safe to do so, maybe hiding in the jungle. Could be days, could be weeks, sometimes longer. Waiting to hear news about her husband who had disappeared in Thailand. Waiting to go somewhere as a refugee. Lots of waiting. So I'm going to read an excerpt or a couple of excerpts from the book, which I think are, well, they are. I don't just think that. They are examples of that express the experience of waiting. So while we were waiting, this is what was happening 12,000 kilometers away. So I think Mathayar's story and stories of refugees in general fits very well into the Advent theme and the questions that have been posed. How long must we wait? What will we do while we are waiting? What about our unanswered questions? Why me? Why not me? Just this last week, there was an email from Mark at MCC. MCC Saskatchewan's allotment from the federal government for refugees is going down in 2024 from 65 to 50. And that's just Saskatchewan MCC. So that means there's a lot more people on the waiting list. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mathayar.
Thank you, Marg, and thank you, Mathayar, for sharing your story. Your presence with us has been a gift, you and your children. So we're grateful for all that you've brought to our congregation, opening our eyes to the wide world. I know it's hard to imagine where you've been. It's hard to put ourselves in that position, but you've opened a window to that for us, and we're grateful. Thank you. Waiting is hard, and I know. Yeah, that's the story that we just heard. I can't imagine that. I can't compare that reality to my own. And you're probably feeling some of that as well. But don't let that diminish your own experiences. Whatever your experiences of waiting are, those matter too. And those are also difficult in their own way. Next Sunday, our Advent focus shifts to the question, what do we do while we wait? And a lot of us want to jump ahead to that. I'm waiting here. I'm on hold. I need to do something. I need to find some meaning. I need to put something into this space to fill it because it just feels empty. It is important. We do want to do things while we wait. Let's leave that for next week because today the invitation is to just be present in the waiting, to let the waiting be whatever it is, to be who we are in the waiting place. And that is difficult. Waiting is hard. Expectations are exhausting. Our theme song describes that feeling well. I'll invite you to join me as we sing that last verse again. This day is done, my prayers unanswered. Once more I sigh as darkness falls. Your will be done. I must be patient. I long for news. How will I know? My bones are tired. My soul is hungry. My stony bed awaits me now. Do not forget your faithful shepherd. Perhaps tonight, how will I know? God, we are here and we are waiting. We are waiting and we are here. We bring our longing as an offering of trust, and you have promised to meet us in our longing. Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ under our feet, Christ within us, Christ over us, let all around us be Christ. Christ, be our hope in this Advent season. Amen.